Today I'm going to talk about more than strength. More than your strength. Say my strength. I'm going to take you to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and the 10th verse. As I said before, the Word of God is paramount. The message we have about Jesus Christ is above all. And that has to be ministered. And we have to understand it. In times like, the old song says, in times like these, we need a Savior. And we definitely need Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of the man that played Jesus, John, I can't remember his last name, Cavales. He was the Passion of the Christ. I was listening to him talk about his experience. He almost died making that movie. And he kept saying, I want people to see Jesus, not me. And by his own statement that I heard, he said that in the middle of the night, Jesus showed up to him. Now, this is a star. Jesus showed up, and he said he immediately embraced him. And what he got from Jesus was concerned about mankind and how they're not listening and how they're entering into this place called hell, and he doesn't want that. And he said, you know, the thing that Jesus desired most, he said, most people don't even love me. But as for me and my house, we love the Lord Jesus Christ. He's important. And I know you feel the same way. 1 Peter 5:10 in the New NIV, New International Version. And the God of all grace, Peter is speaking now to the new Christians, those that were going through a lot. Some of them persecuted, some of them martyred. He said, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory. He called you to his eternal glory. And I say that to you today. He's called every one of us seated here today to his eternal glory. In Christ. Called us to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while. How many people feel like you've suffered enough? After you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you. Man, that's powerful. That's a promise from the one that spoke to Jesus and him saying, upon this rock I'll build my church. That's who he's talking. Jesus spoke that to Peter. After you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you. Jesus Christ will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. More than your strength. There will come a time in your life, if it hasn't already come, when you realize that you can't make it in your own strength. Your own strength isn't enough. Have you ever felt that way? It's just not enough. You've tried everything. Listen to all the programs. Listen to all your friends. Listen to some of your family. Listen to a few preachers. And you've pushed through every obstacle. You've worked at it. Yet you find yourself at the end of your rope. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. You find yourself there discouraged. How many people identify with that? You felt discouraged and unsure of what to do next. But don't lose hope. I'm telling you that today. Don't you lose hope, because I have good news for you. Spirit of the Lord spoke to me last night. Like I said, I got up at 2 o'clock this morning. And I was around 5, I was drifting. I mean, I was tired. I'm sitting there at my computer. And as I was thinking about this message, the Lord said to me about my strength, about your strength. And I really had to research this and look what he was saying. He said, your strength is introverted, but my strength is extroverted. Your strength moves, he said, as I looked at it, and I was trying to wonder where he was coming from with it. As the Spirit spoke, because I never would have thought that. Your strength moves inward. It's all about you. Your strength. But when we deal with God saying, my strength is an extrovert. That was strange to me. My strength is extroverted. God's power then moves outward. He moves outward through action, through community, outward with boldness. His Spirit moves in ways, and it's by design to reach people, to energize situations and bring transformation externally. That's what he was saying to me. It's not about my strength. It's not about what I have. It's not about what I hold in. It's not what I hold dear. It's what he said. Look, if you have my Spirit, it's not introverted. It has to be extroverted, because God's Spirit is designed in such a way to pour out, to give out, to transform, to energize, to lift you up. And I don't know about you, but I could use a little bit of lifting up. I need a little help every now and then. I like to sing. I think I need to wake up singing, Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it so. But he wants to transform people, and that's his Spirit. His strength is extroverted. In other words, when you're filled with his strength, guess what? People, excuse the vernacular, people gonna see it. There's no way to hide it. You can't hide God working in your life. You just can't hide it. I'm going to take you to Zechariah 4:6, based on what the Spirit of the Lord said to me this morning. He said, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, he's speaking to a high-level person in Israel, Zerubbabel. He was a prominent character. When they were rebuilding and restructuring after exile. Watch this. Then he answered me and spake unto me, saying, the Spirit of the Lord, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Do you understand? It's not about your might. It's not about your power. It's not about what you feel. It's not about your strength. It's about who he is and what he possesses. And what he can do in you and through you. That same man that talked about embracing Jesus, the one that, and he said that as he hung on the cross, it was no longer him. He said he felt like it was Jesus working through him. He said the problem with most people is this. It starts out one for me and nine for God. Then it goes to eight for me, two for me and eight for God. Then it moves right down the line till it's nine for me and one for God. He said that's the problem with humanity. The same star, the same actor. And you know that's human characteristics, that's human nature. But God expects us to be in covenant with him. So you may try to build things, he's saying to Zerubbabel, you may try to build things, and I'm saying this to you today, you may try to structure things and build things by your own strength. But I'm going to promise you, you will fail. Or you'll get weak, you'll get tired, or you'll get frustrated because what you have is not enough. So we try to build in our own strength, but it is his strength, he's saying here to Zerubbabel. It's by my Spirit. It's not by your spirit. It's not by your strength, because your strength is introverted. My strength is extroverted. It's an outpouring if you lean on me. And he said, I will then complete the structure. You just start the job. I'll make sure the job gets done. I don't know about you, but man, I need the job to get done. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of the devil playing with God's people. Can I just get real here with you a minute? There are people that are so distraught. They're in anguish. Their bodies are torn by anxiety and stress. They're hurting. And yet the enemy of our soul keeps badgering us. And sometimes our enemy of our soul is your neighbor. Sometimes it's your spouse. Sometimes it's your family. They don't mean to be used, but you know as well as I do, they are used by the enemy in order to torture you. And I say there has to come an end to all the tricks of the devil, the tricks of the enemy. Say, don't say devil, Bishop. You know there's no devil. Well, he thinks you're here. You may not believe in him, but you've heard me say it many times. You may not believe in him, but he believes in you. So I feel like it's time for us to make a stand and say, devil, go back to hell and leave me alone. Leave me alone. He was created for hell, and he wasn't created in the beginning, but he was cast into hell. That is his home. We were not created for hell. Say, preacher, you're preaching different today. Yeah, because I'm mad. I'm tired. I'm wore out with people that don't respect or remember God. And then they get stressed out. They get stressed out because they've forgotten God. I just told y'all the truth. We run to God when we need him, and when we don't need him, we run away from him. I want to call on the Lord in the good times. I want to call on the Lord before the Bible starts talking about before the floods come, before the water gets up to here. I want to call on the Lord before the water gets up to here. When the water gets to my little toe, I want to be talking to God. I'm encouraging everyone here today to start talking to God. You don't have to get on your knees and grovel around and roll on the floor. Just when you drive to work tomorrow, Doc. In between patients, when you sit down, you never watch my doctor work on prescriptions, but he can talk to you and work on prescriptions at the same time. But in some of those times, you need to just say, Lord, here's Butch. Lord, Butch is here. Millard is here. Dolores is here. Randy is here. Lord, and I need you. That's all you got to say, because what he's looking for is the people for people to admit they need him. And I'm going to say it. I need him today. I need him. This church needs him. This community needs him. We need Jesus. So don't try to build things in your own. You can't make it. We need God. So when Joshua, even old Joshua, we talked about him, the one that fought the battle of Jericho, when he was at the end of his rope and he needed to complete a battle, the enemies of Israel, the enemies of the children of God, the ones that would keep them from the promised land. He needed to complete a battle, and time was running out in the battle. It's starting to get dark. I mean, if you're in a battle and you're starting to win and it's starting to get dark, a lot of them are going to flee. And when they flee, they're going to come back and attack you again. Is that right? That's just what they do. But God, Joshua said, I'm going to talk to God. I know I've been a little busy in battle, but I better talk to the one that has given me the strength, because my strength ain't going to cut it. So in Joshua 10, verse 12, in the New King James Version, it says this. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord. He saw what was happening. He saw the day is fleeing away. So Joshua talks to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites. It was the Amorites they were fighting before the children of Israel. They went in the battle, but they needed to complete the battle. And he said in the sight of Israel, he stood up. He said, "Sun, stand still. Stand still over Gibeon and over and moon over the valley of Absalom." So the sun stood still. Do y'all understand the power of what that just said? And the moon stopped. "Till the people had revenge upon their enemies, is it not written in the book of Jasher, or however you want to say it? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven and did not hasten to go down for a whole day." Amen. Study science. It's missing. That time is missing. And there has not been a day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. And I'm going to tell you right now, I serve a God that when I'm in need or I get in trouble and I'm in a negative circumstance, if he has to, he'll stop the sun for me. He'll stop the sun for you. He'll do whatever it takes so you can have the victory. Say with me, victory is mine. Victory is mine. So whatever it takes to get you to winning your battle, he'll stop the sun for you. Now, here's the miracle of that. Anybody that knows anything about the planets, the sun rotates on its own axis. It doesn't go around the planets. Now, look at the miracle there. Here it is. The sun is stationary. It's not moving. So something else had to move. He had to literally take the earth and turn it backwards. Now, that's Alan talking. But if you study it out, how else would he have done it unless he had some big mirror up there in heaven and flashed the sun down on the earth? He had to literally take the earth and reverse, which says time will go backwards. Is that not a miracle to you? Science, everybody that studied this, have found the missing time. And that's where it was. People miss it. I serve that God. Y'all don't mind if I take a little time today, do you? I serve that God, the God of heaven and earth, that when people say it can't be done, he'll show you it can be done. He will make a way where there is no way. He'll open a door that you thought could not be opened. He'll put stairs into heaven if he has to. I'm telling you. I'm excited about that God, my God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, a God that'll stop the sun for you. A God that loves you so much that he put his only begotten son on a cross for you. That same man on the cross that we forget. I got to feeling bad the other day about me. Has anybody ever sat and felt? I know you do, Doc. Butch, you know, we sit around. I start feeling bad about maybe how people have treated me over the years. I've prayed for countless, I don't even know, hundreds of thousands of people that my hands have touched and prayed for. And of all the blessings and the healings and the miracles, look around. So I got kind of disturbed. I said, "Lord." He said, "It ain't about you." Because you do understand that even the Son of God preached one sermon and 5,000 people left him. He's the man that healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils, opened blinded eyes, unstopped deaf and ears. Do you understand? In one sermon, he lost 5,000 people. He said, "Don't feel so bad. You ain't lost 5,000 yet at one time." God has a way of bringing you back into proper perspective. See, I serve the one who holds the stars in his hand, and the earth, the Bible says, the earth is his footstool. He is on my side. He is on your side. The one that holds the stars and the earth is his footstool is on your side. And in order to gain his strength and walk in his strength and be in that ability, you must be connected. You don't get that through a casual relationship. What do you mean? You don't get that kind of intimacy out of a casual relationship. It goes beyond that. You have to be connected. That means you know what's going on the other side. I heard someone talking about marriage, and they said, when someone really is married and it's the right thing and it's a God thing. Now, I know there's some marriages weren't God's thing in the first place. That was more of the devil thing than a God thing. And anybody say amen?
Amen.
Wait, I see where we're at now. But that's just a fact. But when it's a God thing, two people become one. So that you cannot separate them. Oh, they may have their myths and their quarrels and their battles and their fights, because women like to fuss. Thank you, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? We get that way. All of us do, men and women. I'm not cutting down women. But we all have our ways. You know what I'm saying? But the truth of the matter is, the enemy can't separate what God has put together. I told you, please don't hold this against me. I don't know what I'm doing. As the old boy said, I'm so tired. But you have to be connected. Say that back to me. You have to be connected. So you see, no matter, I know you've watched trains, and a locomotive is a powerful thing. It's such a powerful vehicle, it can pull great weight. Sometimes it can pull up to, I've watched them pull over 100 cars. I've sat and watched and counted 100 cars that it's pulling. But those cars weren't going to go nowhere unless they were connected to the locomotive. It has to be connected to the locomotive. So we're a car, and you say, well, I should be going somewhere. Well, in God. But are you connected to the locomotive? Are you connected to that spirit, that power that's extroverted, that's outflowing, outgoing, that's constantly moving? Are you connected to it? Or are you just looking at it? If you're just looking at it, you're walking by it and you only look at it on Sunday mornings, you ain't going nowhere. Before those cars are even useful, Floyd, they have to be connected to the locomotive. You can fill them up with all kinds of goods, perishables, electronics, but unless the locomotive is hooked to it, it's not going to its destination. See, it's more than your strength. It's his strength. It's his ability. And here's the deal with this. Together, connected, together we stand, divided we fall. See, once you're connected to him, you will not fall. But even if you did fall, he says, a righteous man may fall 7 times, but the Lord's going to deliver him. The Lord's going to pick him up. And Lord knows I've pressed that point some in my life. Has anybody else pressed that 7? I got a few honest people in here. We got a few Christians that'll tell the truth. Together we stand, divided we fall. You can have a powerful, and I've done quite a bit of work with tools, and you understand that no matter how powerful a tool is, it could be a saw, electric saw, it could be a drill, it can be all kinds of things. But you know what? That saw or that drill is of no benefit until it's connected. It has to be connected to the power. It has to be to that source. Unless, if not, it's just a paperweight. It will do you no good to have a saw, electric saw, if it's not connected. It's useless. So it reminds me of a lot of people that serve God. They're useless. I told you I was tired. They're useless because they're not connected. There's a lot of preachers. They're useless because they're not connected. I knew I was connected this morning when I was so tired. The Lord said, wake up, dummy. Quit trying to move in your own strength, because that's an introverted thing. He said, it's my spirit, which is extroverted. He said, my strength. That's where you need to be. So call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Call on the name of the Lord. Speak it. Speak it into existence. You say, well, I don't believe quite that way, Bishop. Well, you don't understand the word. You speak those things. I don't have time to preach that message, but you do understand that the worlds were formed by a word. So it's more than your strength. You have to be connected to God. When we are connected to God in covenant, there is a reassurance, there is a peace, and there is this great strength that will fill you with confidence. You will be filled with confidence. What is it then, Bishop? It's a divine assurance that declares, no matter the task, no matter the battle, get this, no matter the task, no matter the battle, I have power. I will have the power to succeed and to overcome. I'm not going to step into it thinking I might lose. I'm stepping into it saying, I will win. It may not look like it, but I'm going to win. Somebody say, I will overcome. As Christians, is there any Christians here today? I got three hands. Thank you, Jesus. Got three people going to heaven. As Christians, you must come to a place where you boldly proclaim the words of 2 Samuel 22, which says, 22:33, God is my strength. God is my strength and my power, and he maketh my way perfect. Y'all get that? When you can't make it, you feel frail, you feel like throwing up your hands, say that, God is my strength. God is my strength. Get it? God is my strength. I wrote a song, God is my source and my strength now. Came into my heart, brought real joy. People living today have many answers. The questions they just don't understand. I almost forgot the song. Of course, I did write it 40 years ago. My brain's still working, boss. God is my strength. He's my source. He's my power. And he makes my way perfect. Can anybody else say perfect? Because that's what it's all about. Perfect. Perfect. We have to reach a place, every one of us, we have to reach a place where complacency or the norm is no longer acceptable. A place where the opinions of others do not define your reality. Didn't define me nor my reality. Somebody calls you a liar, say, praise God, I used to be. Well, you're just a low-down, good-for-nothing. Praise God, I used to be. What are you saying? Well, you're a sinner. Praise God, I used to be. Why? Because I'm not going to follow the opinions of others. They do not define my reality. Have you ever noticed how many people talk endlessly? They talk endlessly, yet their words hold no true power unless you accept them and submit to their conclusions. You have to submit to their conclusion. I'm not going to listen to it. Why? Because it's his strength. It's not my strength. It's more than me. Just because something has been a certain way, well, that's praise God, that's the way we've always done it, does not mean you must follow the same path. I heard a preacher say, oh, they're inviting people to church. Come on out to our revival. Praise God, we're going to have a great revival, and we're going to have singing, Holy Ghost singing out of the red hymnal book. There ain't no Holy Ghost in the red hymnal book. But that's the way we've always done it. That's the way God's going to show up, because that's God is so far past all that right now. So just because something's been that way doesn't mean you have to keep following it. Let me put this on a side note. Just because daddy failed doesn't mean you're going to fail. Just because mama failed and was a drug addict, an alcoholic, doesn't mean you have to be a drug addict or an alcoholic. Well, my siblings have all gone down. That don't mean you have to go down. But everybody in my family's dead. Don't mean you have to die, Valerie. That's just a fact. I'm trying to give you hope today. I want you to leave here full of hope today. So when my daddy lived to 74, well, I'm going to make it a lot longer than that. So you have to start speaking that to yourself. My wife had to remind me of that. She said, you realize that's what the preacher said last week? I said, that man's a liar. He's talking about me. She tries to remind me of what I've said. And I say, get you behind me, Satan. I hate it when people remind me of what I've said. But the truth is the truth. It may hurt, but the truth is the truth. See, circumstances may try to dictate your direction. And situations may press their demands upon you. But never forget, God is the God over all circumstances and every situation. Listen, I got my car yesterday and my wife said, well, she came to me earlier, and I'm glad she did, actually. She said, you would like to get something to eat, because I was studying yesterday, just looking over a few things. And I said, yeah, and she mentioned a place where we could go eat that was, she said it was a 45-minute drive. And I said, no, I don't feel like 45 minutes. Let's just go down the road. Let's go to this little Mexican restaurant. It don't take long to get there, about 10 minutes, if that long. I'm glad that I listened to myself, because I got in my car and drove there and realized, because she had to make a stop, and I let her out, do some shopping like women like to shop, you know. And I kept hearing this noise in my car. What in the world's going on? I know I'm not Gerald. I didn't run out of gas. Gerald, I actually thought I'm thinking, I can't be running out of gas. I know, I'm sure. Then the thing comes up on the panel and says, stop your car immediately. Because your engine is about to blow up. It's way too hot. They didn't say all that. It did it in a blurb, okay? So, you know what I did? I didn't stop it. But here's the deal. I told her, I said, if we had gone to that other place, we'd have been stuck out on the road and I'd had to call Steve to come pick me up. I know you would have. but I wanted to get home safe. And I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. I didn't get all down and disgusted. Like when I was younger, I'd have been just, can't believe this is happening to me. I know I bought enough gas. I know I put enough air in the tires. I just put antifreeze in it. But something broke, a pipe or something. Those stupid foreign cars. Buy American. But God, the reason I said that was not to get you laughing, but to understand that God's the God over all circumstances and situations. Even in that. Even in that. But Bishop, sometimes I just feel like, I don't feel good at all. I heard Randy say it morning. I feel low. Remember that, Randy? Yeah, you did. He said to me, he said, man, I feel low today, because evidently he got up. He couldn't go to sleep at 2. I just feel low. I feel like dirt, man. I'm wore out. Well, I've got news for you. We are dirt. Until the breath of God blows into our lives. You'll find in that one simple verse, Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God himself formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The word dust in the Hebrew, afar, is the word in the Hebrew. It means rubbish. That's one of its meanings, rubbish. Everybody say rubbish. Rubbish. So sometimes you feel like garbage. My life may seem like it's rubbish, Randy. It may seem like it's rubbish, but when God blows in, when God blows in, I have power, I have strength, I have peace. When he blows in, when he breathes, something happens. So when God blows in the town feels him. He comes into your home feels it. He comes into your car is going to, everybody's going to feel it. What are you trying to say, Bishop? I may be sick, and I have been sick in my life. I've never let it stop me from preaching. I've been sick, but when God blows in, sickness flees. I may have to suffer a little while, but God comes on the scene and he strengthens me. That's what the scripture said. He strengthens me because it's more than my strength. I can say, I don't have enough strength to cut it. And God's already saying, I know you don't. He's just waiting for you to come to the point where you will rely totally on him. I may be broken. I may be lost. But when God breathes life into me, I gain supernatural strength. Supernatural. When God breathes in and he blows into your life, what are you trying to say, Bishop, about this strength deal? Well, I just want to tell you, death can't even separate you from his breath. Death can't separate you from his breath. Pain cannot separate you from his breath. Nothing can separate you from the life-giving breath of God. Oh, what do you mean? Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardships, persecutions, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? As it is written, some have said, that's the inference here, for your sake we face death all the day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. He said, no. No, in all these things, no matter what you've gone through, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. I think next week I'm going to preach on that, more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors through him who's loved us, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels or demons, neither the present nor the future or any power, neither height or depth or anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When he blows in, negatives blow out. When God breathes in me, he breathes in a solution. When God breathes in, when he blows in, the problem blows out. Just the way it works. How do you do it? You have to take a stand. What was the old statement? If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. You have to take a stand. And you have to learn to rest your faith. That's when you say, all is well with my soul. But you're going through hell. All is well with my soul. Man, you're falling. All is well with my soul. You must make a stand. You have to rest your faith in God. So when you feel like things in your life have turned to rubbish, garbage, let God blow in. And he'll turn your nightmare into a beautiful dream. Just what'll happen? He said, no, my life's over. No, it's not. It's just beginning. As of today, it's just beginning. He said in Ephesians 6:13, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Hear me. You will remain where you are. In whatever state you're in, you'll remain where you are and what you are until you make a decision to allow God to be God in your life and let God blow in. Amen.